Good morning. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. We'd like to have you be aware of a couple of announcements. There's a couple cards. Please fill those out. They'll be gathered by the usher for prayers right after the scripture lessons are read. The other card will be gathered just to let us know that you are here, so please also fill that out. We'll be asking you to now stand and greet one another with a handshake of warmth and welcome. We make our beginning this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. All right. First reading today, the Old Testament. It's from the book of Isaiah, chapter 35. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly with rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, and the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God, and he will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then the lame man leap like the deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And the highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, and it shall belong to those who walk on the way. Even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. And they shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle lesson is from the book of James, chapter 5. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you.
can stand. The Holy Gospel this Sunday is recorded in the book of St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered him, "Go and tell John what you've heard, what you hear and what you see. The blind receive their sight and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. And the dead are raised up and the poor have the good news preached to them. And blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has risen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophet and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Here ends the reading of our gospel. You may be seated.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace be richly and abundantly poured out upon you this day. Our text is taken from the gospel lesson which we just read for you a few moments ago. And I share with you those words once again. John, when he was in prison, heard of the works of Christ, and he sent word to his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or should we look for someone else?" This is quite a statement, but it is reflective of where many of us are. When we start to look at our own lives, we too sometimes have questions and even doubts. We wonder if God is still with us at this moment, or we question why something happened, and we start to think about things of such. But John, you now see, was the one, if we recall earlier in the gospel lessons, we would actually see that he had seen Jesus from afar when Jesus was coming in towards John at the Jordan River. You remember, John saw Jesus from a distance and said, "Behold the spotless Lamb of God," as he saw the Spirit of the Lord descend upon him in the form of a dove. Now John's testimony then allowed him to go ahead and baptize Jesus and to acknowledge and to see that Jesus was indeed the Christ. But now, with the troubles of being in prison and the fate unknown for John that was at this point unknown, he wondered, "Are you the Christ? Are you the one we should look for?" The blind receive their sight, Jesus said. Go and tell John what you hear and see. The lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I should let you know also in on another secret. Not only were those things that Jesus had done, those were also in fulfillment of a prophecy from the book of Isaiah. If you go to Luke 4 at some point, you can read this at home. And what you will find there is Jesus, as he was beginning basically his ministry, as he went to the temple that day, and he read from the scriptures, and he read basically this text that had been prophesied about what the Christ would do concerning the Jubilee year of the Lord. A time when the blind would receive sight, the lame would walk, the deaf would hear, and the dead would be raised up, and the lepers would be cleansed. And the poor would have the gospel preached to them. This would be the year, you remember, when all sins were forgiven, all debts were forgiven, and God settled and made everything whole. That's what Jesus was doing. And he portrayed it by telling John and recalling all of these texts. Because if you remember the story in Luke, Jesus rolled up the scroll and said to them, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And now as we see this scripture being fulfilled, Jesus wanted John and us and his disciples to see for themselves who he is by what he had done. And Jesus had done all of these things. Blind people could see, lame people could walk, the deaf could hear, and lepers were healed of the most deadly and devastating disease known during these biblical times. Deaf people could hear. Think about that. Dead people could come back and live, would be alive. You see, Jesus was life-changing, but he was also life-giving. The Bible, my friends, is chocked full of people who have questions about believing, questions about their faith, about trusting God with their very life. Now, in Mark, we hear of another story. We hear a story of a boy's father who had a demon-possessed son, and you remember that story in Mark. And the father goes to Jesus, and he says, Jesus, if you can do anything, please have pity on us and help. If you can do anything. And Jesus says, if you can. And then he says, Jesus does. All things are possible to him who believes. And the boy's father confessed from his heart, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief. Let's face it. A lot of us have probably been there too. Yes, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Help me to keep holding on and trusting in your promises, to keep trusting, to keep believing. As I've just received this bad diagnosis, the loss of a job or a loss of a loved one, family problems and the like. If I have to have surgery and it was unannounced, and I just talked to someone recently and they told me, Friday the 13th, was a big, long list of bad things that happened to them. This individual said, I'm not superstitious, but it all happened. And when we start to think about the comments like, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. And you know, the things that we say and see and happen in our world, we sometimes get to that point where we have doubts and we have questions. Yes, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. Is that sometimes a prayer that we need to say? Help me to hold on, to keep on trusting you, to help me press past the pressures of this life, of this problem, and to hold fast to my faith and to forge on. But note here, my friends, what the man did not say, the man who had the son who was demon-possessed. He did not say, Jesus, I know I've got to believe a little bit more. He did not say, Jesus, I know it's all up to me and I'm sorry, but I just didn't have it with me today. I just said the wrong words. No, the man said, Lord, I believe, but would you help my unbelief? The part of me that's struggling with this. That's where the Holy Spirit, my friends, goes to work. You know, intercedes for us with groans too deep for words. Things that we don't understand even how to formulate the words. The Spirit Himself is at work inside of us, praying for us, strengthening us. He strengthens us in our inner spirit, and He strengthens our faith. And this is where God's hold on us, where He has us in the grip of His hand. A little bit later, most of us are going to be receiving Holy Communion. It's a time where God refreshes and renews and strengthens our faith. It's a time where we come forward and confess our sins and ask our Creator, our Savior, and our Redeemer, and our Sanctifier, the Holy Spirit, to strengthen our faith. And as we come and confess our problems and we pray and even maybe confess, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief, the Spirit goes to work. And as we daily remember, as Luther says, to remember that our daily baptism, that we are having that Spirit poured out upon us, and that God made a promise to us in those waters of baptism that we were His children. He sealed us in that adoption. He gave us a guarantee that God would never let us go from His grip. And it's around the time of the Transfiguration, I believe a little bit after it, where Jesus asked His disciples, and who do you say that I am? Well, you know, they came up with, you know, the group think, oh, well, Elijah. Oh, you know how that goes. Or maybe one of the prophets. But Jesus wanted to know more. He looked at the disciples and He says, but who do you say that I am? Good old Peter. He stood up. I don't know if he raised his hand. If he just stood up and belted it out. You are the Christ, the living Son of God. See, the Holy Spirit had given him the answer, had prompted him to be able to look past all the things and all the questions, but be able to see Jesus is the Christ, the living Son of God. And you remember Thomas, one of Jesus' own disciples, who had walked with Jesus, seen all of His ministry going on, been there when Jesus had turned the water into wine, been there when Jesus raised Lazarus from death to life, been there when Jesus did all of His miracles, including the lame walk, the deaf raised, the deaf hear, and the dead in Christ are raised. Thomas was there. But it was difficult for Thomas, having seen Jesus die upon the cross and knowing that He was really dead when they took His body down from the cross. It's so difficult for Thomas to get his brain around what the other disciples told him. You remember, on the Easter evening, Jesus appears to the disciples behind locked doors, but Thomas was not there. And Jesus shows them His hands and His feet and His side. And He asks for something to eat. And the disciples were all excited. And they went and they told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. He's alive. And Thomas says, unless I put my fingers into His hands, and my hand, if you can imagine this, into His side where the spear went, I will not believe. I will not believe. Jesus appeared some 7 days later behind those locked doors. And when He appeared, He goes to Thomas, is how I see it explained. And when it's just Jesus and Thomas, eye to eye, nose to nose, He offers Him His hands. And Thomas places his finger in Jesus' hand. And then Thomas places his hand inside of Jesus' wound and the side. And Thomas is moved from doubt and despair to belief. And Thomas, kneeling at the feet of Jesus, says, my Lord and my God. my Lord and my God. You see, the Gospel of John, written by John, these things have been written, things that we have seen with our own eyes and have touched concerning the Word of life. John simply wrote what he'd seen and what he'd heard. And later, as he closed out the Gospel of John, he says, "These things are written so that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, and that by believing in his name, you might have everlasting life." You see, the writers of the Gospels knew and understood that this is hard stuff for us to believe on human terms. That it had to be a godly thing, that God would create and sustain and instill this faith in us that would get us over those questions and doubts and despair and give us through daily life. Josh McDowell, in a book called Evidence That Demands a Verdict, set out on a mission as a campus professor to disprove and to debunk Christianity. He felt as though he could best disprove the Bible if he would go in and simply study it. Josh McDowell was an atheist and a skeptic, but he became a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. As he wrote in the book, Evidence That Demands a Verdict, Jesus is either a liar, a lunatic, or Lord. Josh McDowell settled in on Jesus is Lord. Jesus is the Lord of the living. Jesus is the Lord of life. Jesus is the Lord of lords. Jesus is the Son of God, whom he says, by believing on his name, you do have everlasting life. Go and report what you've seen and heard. That's what Jesus told John's disciples. That's what witness is. That's what a witness is, and it's what he calls us to be his witnesses. How many of you know we have a young couple in our congregation? They usually come to the 9:30 service. James and Lori, I'm not getting her name right, but Moretto, you know them? This young couple, they're both scientists and work for the crime labs. And they were telling the story about how at one time they had to go because they're going to a trial. And their son says, "What? Are you being tried for something?" He says, "No." Daddy says, "No. I'm going to be a witness." And he says, "Do you have to judge whether the person is guilty or if they did wrong?" And the dad says, "No. I'm just a witness. I'm there to tell them what I found." Now, as a scientist, he is an expert in that field. And he was simply charged with the task, as you and I are, to go and report what we've seen and heard, what we've discovered about this one named Jesus. You're simply to report to tell others who Jesus is to you. Has he answered any of your prayers? How good is it that you know that you've been forgiven? Does that really free you up? Does that make you feel good? Well, I don't know about you, but it sure makes me feel a lot better to know that as I face my Lord and my Savior, I'm forgiven. And then, but good to know also that I'm forgiven in this life of the things that I've done wrong and the shortcomings that I have, including having gaposis when I started this service. Some of you know what that was about. Well, when we start to think about all the things that we need forgiveness for, isn't it good that our Lord offers us that? And soon we're going to be having the Lord's Supper, and isn't that what Jesus offers us there? Is take and drink, take and eat for the forgiveness of your sins. Wow. As you and I go through a week and have all these worries and problems and fault and shortcomings that we do, especially in this season, we need forgiveness. It's good for us to know that he strengthens us as you and I go through and even struggle with sins that have entangled us. And we pray that God will continue to help us deal with them and to escape them. Because if the Son of Man shall make you free, you are free indeed. And how good it is to know that you and I are at peace with God and that He really does love you. And for us to read in the Bible so that we might know the height, the depth, the width, and the breadth of God's love for us. And that you and I have the opportunity to believe all that He's promised us, including that one day when we die, when our eyelids close in death, that we will enter eternity in heaven and will be living with our great Redeemer and Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. That's what we get to be a witness of. I gave a tour of the CDC, the Child Development Center here at Trinity, and I came upon one of our teachers, Stacy Carroll, who actually watches the children during our services here. And I asked her to tell my guest, who I was giving a tour, I said, "Tell me what you like best about our CDC." She gave me chapter and verse, and it was better than any paid advertisement I could have ever paid her for. She told me about the art project that was on the wall right behind us. And then this was her capstone, her final statement. "I love working here because I get to love on these children and tell them about Jesus every day." Every day. And as you and I start to think about the opportunities that we have every day to speak this good news to others, Jesus talking to the crowds who were gathered after He had spoken with sending John's disciples away, explained, "This is the one about whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you who will prepare your way before you.'" John's role was that of a messenger and a preparer. And I like that. As I said last Sunday, that's our role too. As a parent and now a grandparent, I know that I'm always trying to tell my grandchildren and my children that I love them and that God loves them. And Desiree, that goes for you too. I try to teach them how to pray and the like. I try to teach them about forgiveness and about sharing. I try to teach them about the things of God and how they show love. We will sing songs, we'll tell stories, and we dare not ever forget what Jesus tells us to permit the little children to come unto Him. And for us to spend that time with them and to love on them is about what Jesus would have us to do. And not just with our children or grandchildren, but also with our friends and our family and our neighbors. We don't have to go overseas to be a witness, a messenger, or a preparer. Our job as a witness is to simply tell what we have seen and what we've heard. That's it. Our job as a messenger is to take the very message of God and to share it with others, His love and His forgiveness, and to share that and take that to them and to give that to our friends and our family, our co-workers, our very neighbors, always being prepared to give an account of the hope that is within us. That's what we get to do. And our job as a preparer, like John the Baptist, was to clear the way for people to hear, to whet their appetite for this good news. And sometimes it's great to ask questions. You know why? Anytime you ask someone a question, if they don't answer it, that question will continue to echo through the chambers of their mind until they come up with an answer, even after you've long left the room. Questions are very good. Jesus used them often. You might say our job as a preparer is to salt their oats, to create their appetite and their thirst for hearing the gospel. I'll share with you this little story. At Lake Yolo a couple weeks ago, you remember, we had the holiday tree lighting. And there was a craft fair. The crafts were there. And the cookie and the cocoa and coffee was there. And there was a photo booth, and all of it was so wonderful. I stood outside of the craft booth, and I said to children, I said, "Do you have a Christmas tree in your house?" "Oh, yeah." I said, "I have a gift for you. I'd like to have this, give you this if you just want to put it on your Christmas tree." "Oh, could we, Mommy? Could we, Daddy?" And they didn't even know what it was, but they wanted to do it. And so I knew they'd make good Lutherans because they liked the word free. When you and I start to see what happens next, I salted these kids' oats simply by asking a question. Do you have a Christmas tree? I'll share with you one story of one of these little boys. They would come in, and in this craft, there's a clear plastic cup. Then on the inside, there's a piece of it's called vellum, and on it is printed the stable, the Mary and Joseph, and then the shepherds, and then the wise men on the other side. And then there's a candle that's stuck in the bottom of the cup that is now the top, so it's like smaller, bell-shaped, if you will. And as a result, that light goes on and off, and it makes it all glow. In any case, I said to this little boy who was looking at this craft, and I said, "Do you know who Jesus is?" "Well, yeah," and he starts to talk about it. And then he says, "No, I don't." And the dad's comment was, "Well, it's not Sunday." I don't know what that meant, but it's not Sunday. Okay. So we went from there and we had a conversation. And I said, "Do you know that Mary and Joseph are these people right here? You see them?" "Yeah." I said, "Can you see that thing that baby's in? What was that?" "Well, that's a manger." "Do you know what a manger is?" "It's a barn." "Oh, it's a barn? Jesus was born in a barn." And we started to talk about this Christmas story. And you know, as we started to listen to his comments and his understanding, he started to assemble this craft. And as we were getting ready for him to tell us the story of what he saw, of the shepherds and the wise men coming to see the babe in Bethlehem and Mary and Joseph and for the three kings to come, we told them the story about the angels. And then my wife shares with him how to turn the light on. And his eyes lit up as he could hear about now the angels. And he wanted to take it home and put it on his tree. And when the tree went down, he was going to put it in his bedroom as a reminder. You see, he knew how to tell the story of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. And you see, what we were doing was simply being a witness, being a messenger of talking about God's love, and a preparer who helped clear the way for this child to learn who this Jesus was. This Christmas season, I ask you, will you pray about and look for ways so that you can be a witness, so that you can be a messenger, and so that you can be a preparer? You don't have to go outside of anything you're now already doing, but to simply walk through your everyday life and speak of Jesus and be able to share the love of Christ in just with a smile or with a prayer or with a card or with baking cookies or just loving on people in the name of Christ. You can see you can be a witness in a lot of ways, a messenger, and a preparer. You don't have to get on a boat and go overseas. You can stay in your neighborhood and walk through your daily life. You and I have many opportunities to share the story of Christ in Christmas and let people know that it's still all about Jesus. In the name of Jesus, may you be blessed as you share that story. Amen. Please stand. Join me as we make confession of our faith this Sunday in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. Lord and Savior Jesus, as we come before you, we give you thanks for those who are prepared the way for us to receive you as our Lord and Savior. I personally thank you for my pastors, my mom and my dad. I thank you for my Sunday school teachers, my college professors, and all who strengthened my faith and service unto you throughout the years. I thank you for the people you've placed in my life that have allowed me to grow in my faith and to be strengthened. Our members, our brothers and sisters. And when we start to think about all of those people, Lord, we thank you for their witness unto us. Lord, help us to be such witnesses, messengers, and those who will prepare the way for others to receive you. May we speak into their life as others have spoken into ours. And may we be that person for whom that person is thankful for. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, we thank you for our baptisms, where you claimed us to be your children, and for your Holy Spirit's working of faith into our hearts, and for that faith being sustained to this very day. And for the days yet to come. We thank you, Lord, as we receive this body and blood in the Lord's Supper, in the forms of bread and wine, that you will again feed and nourish us and strengthen our faith. Lord, in your mercy. Lord Jesus, bless us as a congregation as we serve in that role as witnesses in this community. Prepare inside of our church places for people not only to serve, but to be fed. Prepare in our hearts such a readiness also to be that witness. Prepare in us, O Lord, the opportunity to serve in whatever capacity we'd be called on. Lord, in your mercy. Now, O Lord, hear the prayers that have been asked and requested this day.
Lord, the congregation lifts up the following prayers to you. Pray for tornado victims in northern Florida. Pray for Mark, for continued healing from open heart surgery. We pray for Dan, Liz, and Hannah for safe travels back home. We pray for Lucene for healing and God's protection. We pray for Asher, who's recovering from heart surgery in the hospital. We pray for Shireen for restoration of her sight following eye surgery. We pray for Deanna for continued patience, success during upcoming eye surgery. Pray for Oscar for healing from bone cancer. And we pray for Peg dealing with depression. This is not an easy thing to deal with. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
And now, O Lord, we pray that prayer which you taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us everlasting life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and singing. Jesus Christ, in the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had broken it, he gave thanks, and he gave it unto his disciples, saying, Take and eat. This is my body, given unto death for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, in the same manner, he also took the cup, and when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it unto them, saying, Take and drink ye all of it. For this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is given and is shed for you for the remission of all your sins. As often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
This cup which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? This bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? O taste and see that the Lord is good. Come, for all is now ready. Receive now the benediction of our Lord. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and bring you his peace.
Good afternoon. Good morning, Trinity. Movie night is next week on Tuesday from 7 to 9. The movie will be Paul the Apostle of Christ, and it will be in Fellowship Hall. Bring soda to share, and popcorn will be served. This is a great follow-up to the first Immersed book and a fantastic movie about Paul. Please RSVP so we know how many will be there. Details are, as always, in the weekly. Special services, there's a long list here. And there is a card you can pick up in the narthex that goes over all this. The final Advent service will be this coming Wednesday on the 18th. This doesn't make sense. You will hear a special message of hope wearing the crown this week. Service times are 12 to 12:50, lunch hour, and then at 7 o'clock, bring a friend. The children's program for Christmas Eve is scheduled for the 3 p.m. worship. Led by our Sunday school teachers, this promised to be a wonderful family program for all to enjoy. The candlelight communion services will be held at 5, 7, 9, and 11. Child care is provided for children under 4 years old at the 3, 5, and 7 services, not at the 11, not at the 9 and 11. But children are certainly welcome, but you will be holding your child. Christmas Day worship is at 10 a.m. Bring a bell to ring. We also worship on New Year's Eve at 7. All these special worship services are a great opportunity to bring family, friends, a coworker, or a neighbor who may not have a church home. Add a cup of coffee before or after, or a meal after, and connect with them to tell them about your church family. And my added little value part here, if you paid attention during the sermon, which I believe most of you did, I didn't see any heads nodding. Thank you, sir. There is a card in the narthex that makes witnessing a very easy tool. You, if nothing else, you don't have to say a word. Just hand it to somebody. But it has all the worship services. You can certainly add value by saying something with this, but it's just certainly an easy tool to use. And I need it because it helps me remember when I need to be here also. So these are in the back. There's a whole bunch of them. Take them and use them. We can't use them next year, so might as well get rid of them. The next Immersed series begins January 5th. Study groups meet at Trinity on Sunday mornings, Tuesday mornings, and Tuesday evenings. There are also home groups in West Orange as well as in Winter Park. Details are in your weekly, again, in the weekly. If you're interested in being part of a group here at Trinity before the Saturday evening worship service, let Chanda in the office or pastor, somebody know. There is some growth in wanting to do that prior to the 6 o'clock service on Saturday. The book order has already been made, but you can get you'll have to order on your own at this point in time. I'm sure the details are in the weekly on that. The church office and school program would be closed the week between Christmas and New Year's, as always, December 23rd through the 27th. There will be modified hours the following week. There will not be a Trinity Weekly published that week also. The Epiphany Cantata will be on January 5th at the 8 and 11 o'clock worship services. Just show up like you normally do and you'll see that. And the next Foundations class will be held on Saturdays from 4 to 5:30 starting January 11th through February 29th. This class is for all new members and certainly any old members that wish to buff up on what it is to be a Lutheran and why we do certain things. It's a great opportunity to just get back to the basics on that. For those of you who are grieving the death of a spouse, a child, a family member, or friend, we invite you to take part in the Grief Share Support Group series starting at Trinity on February 6th. There are more details in your weekly for that if you are interested, or contact the church office.
Fault. That's what the slide says. It's, that Tuesday should actually be a Thursday. And so thank you for pointing that out, Norma. We'll get that corrected for next week, and thank you, Ted. Good job. And yeah, that's all you go by. The other thing I want to say is, ladies, you did a wonderful job. How many of you were at the Christmas party? Yeah, so go ahead and put your hands together. Wasn't that wonderful? And the guys did a pretty decent job, really, I think. So we just really enjoyed that fellowship, and it was wonderful. I hear there might be a Valentine's Day, possibly. So that will be wonderful, and I hope that you'll be able to partake of that. It's the things that we need to do of coming together and celebrating together. And we saw people there that we had not seen in some time. For folks that were a part of Trinity's friendship and have been friendship with Trinity, and just that they came out to be a part of this. And so it was wonderful to have that evening. I would like to say, please do take those cards like Ted had mentioned. As I told the ladies the other night, we have 10 services the week of Christmas. That is why my name is still on the prayer list. So the other thing I wanted to say is I'll take care of, just to say what I said to the lady, is I said, we're not expecting you to be at any more than 8 of those services. So we'll look forward to seeing you, and make sure and inviting your friends and family. Ted, you got something more? Okay, thank you. God's blessings. Have a wonderful week in the Lord. See you on Wednesday. And serve the Lord with joy.